Hey, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the How to Become an Elite Financial Advisor podcast. I wanted to extend a personal invitation. If you had questions about coming to our How to Charge Live event in April of 2025, that you would go to howtocharge.live.com. That's howtocharge.live.com. Click on a button there that says schedule the call. And I'd love to answer any questions you have about coming to our event in April. It will sell out, but if you have questions, I want to answer them as quickly as possible so you can get your seat to that event. I look forward to seeing you here with us in April. And now, enjoy today's episode.
Welcome to the episode. I love this topic we're going to unpack today. We're going to talk about plateaus. This falls in the category for me of things I look back and I'm like, oh, I think somebody told me about that once. And then I find myself in it. And I'm like, oh, I wish I would have internalized it. I do believe there are things in our life that even if we're told and we try to understand, we can't fully appreciate the prior wisdom until we're sitting in it.
Yeah.
But I do think we can prepare ourselves and be less surprised, less thrown off by different seasons. And so today we're going to unpack plateaus. And I want to say, how are we going to define a plateau? Because I do want to normalize that they're not a bad thing.
They're not a bad thing. And actually, that's a great point. They're a sign of something good has happened. A plateau, by definition, is an area of relatively level, high ground. So high ground means you're not at base camp. You've reached a higher level, but then there's an area of leveling off. So there, you've stopped the growth or you stopped, ascending in some reason. But the issue being that, as you pointed out, either people try to talk to you about plateaus. I think people actually just talk about the difficulty of growth and they don't get into the nuance that part of growth is plateau. Like I heard this yesterday talking about someone climbing up Everest that you have to stop for powering 20 days, 30 days to just acclimate to the, as you're climbing, you have to force yourself to plateau. You have to stop and rest because the journey ahead is different. And you have to acclimate to it. But people don't talk about the nuance of that. They generally just talk about growth. You just have to keep growing and keep growing. But we're going to break down today, why are plateaus places where people not just get stuck, but some people actually choose to live on plateaus?
Yeah.
You can see there's further up and they just go, no.
Yeah.
Right.
And I love a good analogy. You speak in analogies. So you've helped train me in this a little bit.
You're welcome.
So whatever one lands for you, as we were unpacking this episode, obviously Everest is a great one because the base camps are there for a reason.
That was yours. Thank you. You talked about the base camps.
Nobody puts on their gear and is like, we're going to beeline to the top without stopping.
Right.
And any slowdown of pace or planning means we're failing.
Right.
Another one I've heard is when a tree spends, 3 months out of the year growing and then 9 months absorbing that growth.
Yeah. And stopping. It becomes stronger. Healthy growth happens. And we've all seen the tree rings, right? Mm-hmm. If you ever ask yourself, like, why is a ring happening? That is solidifying. It grows and then it stops. And then it grows and it stops. And that creates strength, right? If you just grow, that's why, you can't see this, you can see these like bamboo and things like that. They can grow really tall, but they can't grow 200 feet because they don't stop growing. They just grow. They don't stop to get stronger. Well, trees can be hundreds and hundreds of feet. And obviously they're a lot thicker because they stop and they grow and they stop and they build on that growth. I think that's a form of sort of nature's plateau, or Sabbath, whatever your religion is for Sabbath. Different faiths have different thoughts about Sabbath, but they are undoubtedly the same thing in that they say stop, rest, because you've got more growth ahead of you. And I think the difference is some people stop and use a plateau in a healthy way, like, okay, I'm going to stop and recalibrate. Like a base camp, like you said, and other people get frustrated by them, or other people think we've reached the peak, and you're like, no, we just reached a plateau, right? So, what do you wish people would have told you, or what did you ignore about growth and plateaus? What did they tell you?
I think at different seasons, as a new advisor, I wish the struggle would have been normalized. And the thing that always lands with me is when I compare it to working out, when it's like, hey, if the muscle's sore, it means you're doing something right.
Right.
The story I brought to the industry in my past is if I'm not winning all the time, any losses are a reflection on me as a person. Therefore, I have to kind of cover it up or overcompensate. And so I think I wasted a lot of energy not being curious, not being humble, not seeking out more answers. And so I think there's obstacles in each plateau for each person that are unique to some degree.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a level of awareness we all need to have about ourselves. Like what holds us on a plateau in our story? Is it, you know, shame? Is it, I don't want to be exposed? Whatever it is for you.
Yeah, it's a lack of knowledge. You just like, you cannot get there because you do not have.
Or is it lack of access to help. Potentially,
yeah, yeah.
You go find it.
I love that one. Lack of, you don't have the right team. I could probably go to the base of Everest and start walking and make it 100 feet. But the last 100 feet, like you have, no one does that alone. You always have a team around you. So that's one of the things you teach is that you've taught hundreds of advisors this, which is you cannot get to where you want to go and where you're capable of going alone, right? Which basically you're saying you will plateau and you will stay on that plateau if you try to do it alone. You've actually gone and kind of broken down some different plateaus. Do you want to talk about where they are in the career?
Yeah, I think it's helpful to, there's awareness and then there's, I think, being able to anticipate and plan better.
Mm-hmm.
One thing as a leader, I'll say before we jump into these typical plateaus or the ones I've in hindsight look at, and maybe some ones I'm expecting just because we coach a lot of advisors.
Yeah.
As I look back and as a leader, I wish I would have encouraged my team through plateaus better versus like being frustrated with myself. And I think that energy overflowed.
Good self-awareness, man.
Yeah, it's a little late, but those times have passed. Damage is done. No, but
well, let me pause real quick because I just want to say for the leaders who are listening, I talked to a leader last night. They lead 20 people in California, faithful listener. You know who you are. Thank you. And they were talking about how they struggle in helping people grow. And I really appreciate what you just said. If you're in a leadership position and you're frustrated with people's growth, understand that, you know, they're probably trying. Right. They probably want to grow, but there's these plateaus and you can either be frustrated or go, yeah, that's just part of the journey. How do I treat it like a plateau? Not like they don't care.
Yeah.
They don't care. They're letting go. But.
Yeah. I think there's a way of positioning plateaus to a team is like, hey, look what we did. Good job. Hey, now let's solve a new challenge together.
That's good.
And so that's the posture I'm trying to take now is I'm not naturally like the cheerleader. I'm like, hey, I'm going to get stuff done. The team needs me to get stuff done.
Right.
But there is a way to wrap those conversations as, what I'm about to say doesn't mean what we did in the past was wrong. It just means we've accomplished something and we have a new set of challenges. And so in business, there's always new challenges, whether you're growing a team, whether you're saying, hey, I need to remove myself as the bottleneck. And so as we walk through some of these plateaus, other ones may come to your mind. The whole goal of this episode is to bring some awareness to how could I have handled plateaus in the past better? Am I potentially in one right now and don't know it? Mm-hmm. Or which one is coming next? So I can prepare myself and my team to maybe get through that plateau faster.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to skip it. We don't want to ignore it. But how do we get through it faster?
Absolutely. All right. So let's talk about some of the plateaus.
So I think as a young advisor, when I look back, there was a plateau of knowledge and capacity to where all I was really doing was selling because I had a bunch of time.
Say that like it's a bad thing.
I wasn't selling the right way. There was a lot of activity. And eventually it worked. I think the industry kind of teaches us that it's like if you do average activity enough, and this is something we say, hey, there's a better way, eventually you will probably be successful, maybe. And so there you'll hit a limit as a new advisor of I'm probably doing a lot of things I shouldn't do. And a lot of times I think plateaus come out as frustration first. And there's just like an undertone in you of like, this is annoying. Do I have to do this forever? Maybe I don't like this job a lot. Those should be more of triggers of like, what's going on in my world that's making me feel stuck.
Yeah.
I think after that, you'll realize, okay, I need somebody else.
Yeah.
I need a, whether I'm part of a bigger firm and they have these resources internally to where I can start offloading work that I don't have to do. Processing applications, maybe scheduling appointments. Maybe you have a junior advisor and they do meeting notes for you. You'll go through this season of hopefully who, not how. I mean, I'm going to try to delegate everything I don't have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Then you will hit a plateau of how do I lead people? Maybe I'm not hiring the right people. Maybe I have high turnover. And this was a few year plateau for me in a way of, hey, everybody get on my back and let's just make this thing happen, which attracted the wrong kind of people.
Yeah.
The people that were like, sure, yeah, I'll ride your back.
And the problem with that is every time you add a person, it gets heavier for you.
Yeah,
which is not the idea, which is not the goal of hiring more people. It should not become harder for you as you hire more people. We don't teach that.
Yeah.
Right.
And for me, my initial response was, how do I learn new skills? How does Sten become the best COO? How does Sten become the... I was like, I don't want to be those things and I can't be those things. And so it became hiring higher level people. So there's a plateau of hiring people that were kind of more just service team that were waiting to be told what to do. And then to get out of that plateau, I had to hire higher quality people that could make higher level decisions without me.
Yeah.
Like hiring. Hey, if somebody can hire and they bring me in and they've vetted them, 2-3 meetings have already happened and they've made it through our filter we've built, and then I get to meet with them.
Yeah.
That's a much better process for me. So once I've hit that plateau and kind of pushed through it, the next one I hit was, there's only so much of Sten from an advice standpoint. Meaning Sten can only meet with so many clients and deliver so much advice and sell so many policies in a year.
Yeah.
So with this great team who kind of processes and a great COO who keeps it healthy and great culture, we hit kind of a ceiling of production, because in our business, the advisor is the deliverer of our product.
Yeah.
And so now I'm in a plateau right now of, how do I find those higher quality people, tenacious advisors? I've hired multiple advisors in the past that also just wanted to hang out.
Yeah.
And they were comfortable. And I'm like, it's not, if you judge your success off of, do I make enough income to pay my bills and just hang out? You know, good for you to some degree. Right. But like, if you work here, you will be uncomfortable all the time, because that's not our culture. And then even like tenacious junior advisors, it's like, who's in here that's hungry to make stuff happen that doesn't have to be told what to do every day?
Right.
So that's the plateau I'm in now. How do I increase Legacy's ability to deliver more advice?
One of the challenges, if you know, for those listening or watching, one of the challenges with the plateau is there, it takes activity to get higher, to grow, whatever stage that is, whatever you just heard yourself. And then when you reach a plateau, what'll happen is you'll still be busy, but you won't be growing. And you're like, I'm still walking around. I'm still active. Like, people don't generally stop working. They're just sort of doing the same thing. Another sort of analogy we shared was, it's like getting in an elevator and hitting, you know, 10, and you stop at the fifth floor, and it's like, why am I? I know what got me to the fifth floor. And someone says, oh, to get to the 10th floor, you got to step out, go down this other stairwell and get in a different one. Like, you got to go do something different. Right. Or I remember going to, closest I've ever been to Paris is Kings Island, which is in Cincinnati. It's got its own Eiffel Tower. But I remember, like, you could get up for a while in an elevator, and then you had to get out and walk. Right. But if I just was like waiting in the elevator, they'd be like, are you? I'm like, I'm going to get to the top. Like, no, you're not. You have to get out and walk. Like, it takes something different to get there. But if no one told you that, you'd be like, what am I doing wrong? Mm. Right. And it's on me. It takes different activities to get to different, to get through and over different plateaus. And again, I think the biggest challenge is a lot of very hardworking people get very discouraged because they don't realize, and no one tells them, you can't keep doing the same thing and grow to the next stage.
I think there's, as you were explaining that, it brought to my mind that there were times in my career where I was hanging out with a bunch of people that were like, cool, hanging out on the plateau.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where
that's very real.
It's always my responsibility to be successful, and they weren't intentionally holding me back. But if I'm just sitting there hanging with the pack, it's, you know, everyone else is staying in the elevator, so I'm staying in the elevator.
Yeah.
It's like, how long is it going to take for you to look around and be like, why is everybody staying in the elevator still?
You've seen that thing, right? It's like, I think it was like mid-90s. Because it was at like every motivational conference ever for a while. But somebody made this video about these two people, and they're in an empty office building, and it's got this massively long escalator. And one guy's like 2/3 of the way up, and one lady's like 1/3 of the way up, and it just stops. And they'll turn around and they like look at each other like in a panic. See, Sten gets the joke, but some of you aren't. Okay, let me remind you. They're on an escalator. An escalator stopped. They're not in an elevator. They're on an escalator. When an escalator, just for those who don't know, it's moving stairs. And when the stairs aren't moving, you can just walk up the stairs. But they panic and they start like going, help, is anyone here? You know? And it's funny, except for like, oh crap, that's my life in different areas. You know, like that's your career. It's like, you're stuck. And it's like, why can't I just keep doing what I was doing? It's like, because it doesn't work anymore. And it doesn't mean what you did was bad. It just means that it's going to take something different. And I love the point you made. You have to put yourself around people who are at that other level or have helped other people get to that level in order to get there. If you want to just guess and try to figure it out, good luck. It's going to take you 5 times as long. So you have to look around And see the people you're hanging out with at the office when you guys, you know, when you get together at the company meetings once or twice a year, who are your, you know, closest relationships? It's very likely that you're almost all within 10% of each other when it comes to motivation, money, life, happiness. I mean, it's just group.
Groupthink is real.
Yeah.
And for me, I found myself at different firms. Again, great people, great advisors that cared about their clients. But when it came to like growth, tenacity, creativity, I found myself, you know, uninspired, unchallenged.
Yeah.
And I had to then go outside of that. And that's part of the reason we created EAN was like, hey, if use what you have in front of you.
Yeah.
We work with great firms that are spending a lot of money developing advisors. It most likely does not address everything. It most likely is not bringing an elite level challenge feedback to your practice in every category. And so that's why advisors around the country are like, hey, let's go hang out with advisors from other firms.
Yeah.
Abundance mentality of like, what are you doing? How much fees are you charging? Like that, the accountability piece is how you get through a plateau faster.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be aware first that you're on one and then say, okay, I'm going to be tenacious about getting off this as quickly as possible, not jeopardizing quality of your next decision. Like for me right now, I could just hire a bunch of people, advisors, and say, oh, problem solved. If I don't do it well, I'm creating another problem in 6 to 8 months that I'm going to regret. And I've done that before just because I got bodies in the office and I'm like, they're not a good fit.
Yeah.
Another plateau I want to talk about is the comfort plateau that we see with a lot of advisors. This is tempting to me.
All right. You may be confused by it. I'll help you.
I'm confused with the way my mind works. Right. Is that if you're driven by like purpose, impact, there's part of you that just wants to continue to learn and grow.
Uh-huh.
You'll never just hang out because your personal income is enough. And I meet a lot of advisors that they start making enough income, probably more than they ever thought.
Yeah.
And it becomes less about impacting people and producing and more about maintaining and living life. And so I'm all for fine balance. But if I want to have more balance in my life, I have 3 kids, I want to hang out with them all the time. I'd rather solve a different challenge, meaning how do I empower other people, lift other people up to produce more based on the machine I've already built that gives me that flexibility and I can do both.
I think the temptation, though, as you said, did you call this one comfort? Is that what this one called?
Yeah. And there's a lot of advisors just hanging out, coming to the office.
The problem with the reason comfort is such a, such a temptress. You know, she's tricky. Comfort is that you're so used to not being comfortable. When you get to comfort, like you don't even know what to do with it. So you just like, you sort of just stop. You're just like, wow, I guess it's always, for so many people, it's like, gosh, when I get there, but
it's been the goal for so long.
Yes. And then when you reach it, you're like, oh gosh, I guess I'm done. Not realizing that, yes, providing for your family, being able to take a vacation, you know, paying things off. I mean, those are all good things, right? But we talk about potential more than we do anything at EAN. You know, it's built into who we are. We help advisors recognize and reach their potential faster. It's not, we help them take as much time off of work as possible. Like that's not your potential. Take more time off work. That's fine if you want to, but your income is not your potential. Your potential is your potential. And the reason that Sten is so big on having the right people around you, the likelihood, and ask yourself, this is something you talked about years ago and we continue to teach our advisors. Ask yourself, what is the likelihood that the people you happen to be in your office with or in your region with are the best people for you to grow? Like, it's just not very likely. Those are fine people, you know, talk to them at the, you know, water cooler or whatever. But if you really want to reach your potential, you have to go seek out who is going to get me to where I need to go. And that's a very intentional thing that most people just don't do. But what we find is when people join EAN, when they come to our Whiteboard University or How to Charge Live, they're like, the value is something we can't even quantify, which is just, I just like being around other people who are thinking differently. The value of that is literally invaluable.
Yeah. Yeah. What comes to my mind, I think there were times in my career, whether it was like culture or training. And one of my favorite poems is The Man in the Arena.
Yeah.
And what's challenging there is like, you're one of two people. You're the person in the stands casting judgment, or you're in the arena getting stuff done. And there were times where I was like, hey, why isn't somebody, you know, creating a better culture in this firm?
why aren't people being more creative? And it's like, at any point I could have been that. And so if you're in a firm or in a team right now, and you don't think it's creative, you don't think they're challenging you to grow, there's a chance you can be that person for everybody.
Yeah.
Like, imagine you are the one that raises all ships because you start setting a new pace.
Yeah.
What's challenging about that is that some people won't like it.
Well, I was going to say, have an expectation of two things. One, some people will just go, dude, shut up. Who cares? Well, they either cast a stone or they'll just ignore you.
Or you're exposing them.
Yeah. And whatever the reasons are, fine. Just expect that. Mm-hmm. Right. It's like running for a political office. Like, some people don't like me. Oh, shocker. You're running for political. I mean, it's like you're putting yourself out there. Mm-hmm. But I guarantee that will happen. Some people will dismiss you. I talked to an advisor yesterday, very, very, very new, like his first year. And he's like, I had someone in leadership, like secondary leadership, like above their boss's boss or something like that, say, you don't think you're going to charge for your advice, do you? This company literally has places, like they have systems in place for them to charge for their advice. This guy was saying, you're too young to do it. Mm. And I was like, man, I go, how'd that make you feel? He goes, dude, it was demoralizing.
No doubt.
I go, okay, well, is he right? He's like, I mean, so far. I go, okay, well, could he be wrong tomorrow if you charge for a plan? He goes, I guess I could. My point is, someone was throwing stones at that kid.
Yeah. That reminds me of the time that GM told me.
This is a great, take your time with this story, because this is a great story.
I look back and I was like, there's definitely a little, like, there's some good confidence in there. And then there's also like a lack of humility. And
from you?
Oh, yeah. Because this guy who's 20 years older than me, you know, been in the industry longer than me.
Okay.
I'm starting to charge for planning, and I'm charging higher fees than most of their firm has been.
Uh-huh.
And so there's this sense of, what's this person doing? It's exposing some other people. You know, maybe he's intimidated by
it. Let me say this. Who does he think he is? Did he get that vibe at all?
I mean, there's probably some of that.
All right.
But I think the idea when he mentioned, you can't charge that fee, I would never pay you that.
Ooh.
Essentially, he's a business owner, and he's like, there's no way you're worth that fee. And I'm thankful in hindsight that I said, well, good, I'd never have you as a client.
That is just brutal. On so many levels. By the way, that was really good.
But I'm thankful that I had enough experience and enough people paying me back to say, well, that means you just don't get it.
Yeah.
Like, that's fine. And people way more successful than you, they're happily paying the fee and the value there.
That's a great story.
So as you go through these plateaus, and again, I'm glad I can laugh at that story now. At the time, that was a heavy moment.
That's a pretty baller story, though, man. That's a pretty baller story.
But for you, as you recognize, like, am I in a plateau? Which one is coming up? As you go into next year, we want to encourage you, like, plateaus are good.
Yeah.
They're going to keep coming. They're going to look different, feel different. My hope is try to be less surprised by things. And the only way you do that is, are you in community? Are you proactively seeking advice? If it ever feels like I'm constantly putting out fires, I'm so head down that I'm just unaware of what's happening. And we have an event coming up in January. And every time an advisor comes, we've had advisors come that are 30 years in the business.
For sure.
They're like, I had no idea.
Yeah.
And what's tough is the longer you go without having that idea or an awareness, the more costly it is. Mm-hmm. And so if you can be having epiphanies or breakthroughs constantly because you're learning and pursuing potential new paths, that's the tension we want to sit in.
Yeah.
Is it like, that's a constant state of growth and learning. And the plateau comes. Good news is you get to take a breather.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not going to stay stuck.
Now, I want to remind you, you alluded to it with our event, our coaching. You know, we exist, this podcast exists, and, you know, for free to help you grow, to help you get through those plateaus, to help you navigate. And we hear from, I hear every day from someone that I get to meet for the first time that has listened to the show and has been blessed and helped by on a really practical level. And we're grateful for that. But if you really want to get past the plateaus, to go through them, then 2025 is a year for you to invest in yourself by investing in EAN. So whether that's coaching, whether that's an online training, whether that's an in-person event, we help people get to plateaus and then get over plateaus. Right? It's not about just growing. It's about getting through it. Sten has done that. And we've helped hundreds of advisors do that. And that can be your reality if you do some things differently in 2025. Sten, thank you. I just want to pause real quick because this will be near the end of the year. People hear this. Thanks for another great year of podcasts. Thanks for leading so many advisors. I like to remind people all the time, like, because people say, like, why does Sten do this? Doesn't he have like his own like company? And I go, yeah, but he just has a passion to change the industry. And we're helping thousands of advisors. It's a privilege and honor to be a part of it. And I just hope that people understand Stent's heart, that he wants to help you individually, not just industry, but you individually. So if you're hearing this, he has created something to help you. And he's learned the hard way, and now you don't have to. So Stent, thanks for pouring into so many advisors. I get to talk to him every day. And I know they're grateful for you.
Thanks, brother. It's fun to do it with you.
Thanks.
See you guys.
Stent here. Hope you're doing well. I want to ask you for a favor. My legacy team is growing, and I'm looking to fill a couple of positions. I'm looking for an experienced advisor, somebody that can come in right away and start serving clients to help us handle the overflow of opportunities we have. But I'm also looking for up-and-coming advisors, a pair planner, junior advisor that wants to learn with me to come help level up our team, but also allow me to help them level up and scale their business quicker over time. If you are interested in this opportunity, or you know somebody that would be potentially a great fit, please email us at arome@investlegacy.com. We're happy to follow up with anybody, have a conversation with them. So if you can keep your eyes and ears open, I'd really appreciate it.